As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
We are live here on the Daily Ding. Welcome, everybody. This is actually a fun one in the very end. I'm Jared Weiss. I am joined by Mark Schindler. Danielle Lehman is our producer. And Mark, we just watched the Minnesota Timberwolves pull off a great comeback. And then, of course, blow it because Jokic and Jamal Murray took over in crunch time. And the Nuggets beat the Wolves 122-113 because Bubble Murray is back, baby.
Yeah, he was tremendous tonight, man. I think this is one of those games where you definitely look at it and it's like, wow. I wish Jaden McDaniels was playing.
I wish Jaden McDaniels was alive to see this. Oh, he would have loved it so much. yeah, I mean, the Wolves are missing a little bit of horsepower there. Kyle Anderson did a solid job in his role. But, I mean, it credits Ant Edwards. Ant Edwards, he was at 41 points in this game, 6 for 10 from deep. Really turned it on in crunch time at the very end after Mike Conley kind of got them back in the game with some spectacular floppitude. But we saw the Wolves come back, take the lead in the middle of the first quarter, middle of the fourth quarter, and then Jokic just has like three dimes in a row, just like completely takes over the game. And then Jamal Murray starts hitting spectacular shots. Like, it was just amazing to see the Nuggets show like what a one seed does when they're feeling a little bit of heat.
Yeah, Jamal was doing his, it wasn't even the easy stuff. It was all the, okay, well, I'm getting into my taking like two or three steps laterally to get into something that you just can't contest. It's the kind of heat checks going that we've seen from him time and time again in the playoffs. And it's awesome to see him get going like that this year, considering like he played well this year, but he was always kind of like trying to find himself and get into that rhythm. And he hit it tonight. And like you mentioned with Jokic, it felt like the thing that just kept breaking open scoring loads for them was the Jokic, Aaron Gordon two-man game. Like every time it felt like Minnesota was starting to find something defensively or shut a couple actions down, Aaron Gordon would cut or there would be a quick ball screen. And they just didn't really have an answer for it. They really struggled to stop that. And I thought that ended up being a really big problem for them.
Yeah, Kat and Gobert still haven't figured it out. It's not surprisingly, we are in the middle of a playoff series. At this point, it was not going to get figured out. But this was a rough game for Kat. He only had 10 points on 3 for 12 shooting. Both him and Gobert had 5 fouls, so did Gordon. Kat had a great pass from Mike Conley, who had a great driving kick to find him wide open in the corner. Pass was like a little bit off, and so it looked like his shot was off, and that's why he missed it. But, I mean, that was on Kat. He should have hit that shot. That would have kept them in it very late there. But he never really asserted himself. It was really on Ant to do everything.
Yeah, they really struggled to, like you mentioned, their just cohesion wasn't there. Even like, I thought Rudy had a much better game today than he did in game one, as did pretty much everybody on the Wolves. But even then, I felt like there were still a lot of moments of him just struggling. I thought like he had some good moments on Jokic, but I mean, Jokic still was pretty overwhelming in that matchup, it felt like. Granted, and I don't want to make this just a thing about the refs, but the refs made this a really difficult game for both teams. Like they kind of let so much contact go to open up, and then they were like, okay, well, we're going to call everything now. And that contributed to frustration for all the players and made it just difficult to guard. Like the last foul on Anthony Edwards in the game was like, Yosh just fell over. Like, you didn't even hit him barely. It was like stuff like that was weird. It made it difficult to parse through, but particularly on the offensive end too, like the Wolves outside of Ant doing what he did, like his ability to, you know, get into his pull-up game and also just attack the basket. They really just didn't have anything else going. I mean, Cat really couldn't find anything. He seemed off tonight. Even with Rudy scoring almost 20 points, I mean, he missed some easy looks around the rim. He struggled with chippies. And it was just a kind of a stiff performance from them overall, it felt like. That was okay. You know what?
Using the word stiff right after talking about Rudy Gobert. You don't have to be that cruel, man. Come on. I want to find the actual timestamp on this, but there was a miss by Gobert on a pick and roll. It was at the 233 mark.
Yeah,
they had, Conley had just hit a huge three off of a, I think it was off at the HO from Rudy. And then Conley, another great pass to get it to Rudy. He had that angle to attack and get over Jokic. It just like threw it off the backboard so hard. I think it almost missed a rim. If it didn't miss the rim, that was their chance to get it down to 5 points, make it a two possession game again. And that's what really killed them. And then, you know, Murray started taking over. Gordon had that great little lob play from Jokic at the very end there. It was over at that point.
Yeah, no, 100%. I think now I'm just hoping that we can see a little bit more from the Wolves in you know, game three back in Minnesota, but I'm not super optimistic. I think the biggest takeaway I have, though, is when you – I mean, no shit, but when you get MPJ and Jamal Murray both going, this offense is really hard to stop. I thought – I mean, MPJ was like a non-factor most of the game. It was funny. I was thinking about it right before – he hit his first buck in the fourth quarter. I was like, you know, has Michael Porter Jr. even played tonight? And then he just went absolutely out of his mind in the fourth quarter, got open in every way possible and just kind of remember like, hey, I'm 6'10" and I can score over anybody defending me. And I felt like that really just kind of unlocked that extra gear for them. And got to give a big shout out to Uncle Jeff Green, 36 years old, putting on early. The star turn this is something that I remember. When I was in high school, Kevin Garnett saying Jeff Green was going to be the face of the NBA someday. It's happening now, 11 years after he said it was going to. So it just took a little bit of time.
I was standing right there in front of KG when he said that.
That's hilarious.
I asked the question, if I remember correctly. I don't know. That was my first year covering the NBA.
That's incredible.
And I got to be there for the day that he came. I think did he compare him to MJ? I got to go back to that, but
I'm pretty sure he compared him to MJ or LeBron. But yeah,
I seem to remember walking out of the locker room laughing hysterically when that happened. I was like, So these guys do lie sometimes. I didn't know that. That was a good journalism lesson there. Thank you, KG, for teaching me about bullshit. Who would have thought? Okay, last thing real quick on this game. Tim Connelly reportedly might be in the mix for what is now a vacant job running the Wizards because Tommy Shepard was let go. Earlier on, is it Wednesday? It's Wednesday, right? It's the playoffs. I don't know what day it is. Jeff Zilgert reported that from USA Today. Would it be the greatest heist of all time if Tim Connelly came to Minnesota, had them make what looks like an egregious trade that's going to be horrible for the franchise, and then jettisoned off to another team that's stuck on the treadmill of mediocrity?
I just want to know how this would even work because he has equity in the organization. So, like, how does that work? Like, what? Like, that's, I mean, congrats, dude. Do whatever you want to do. But, like, how does that work?
I mean, they're definitely not going to buy back the equity to let him take another gig. Although maybe they're like, you know, fuck this guy. But I'm sure that trade was ownership driven. I can't imagine that's what Tim Connelly wanted to do with his first big move. But, yeah, that would be interesting.
Discover the latest collections from David Yurman, as seen recently, styled on basketball stars like Jaime Jaquez, Jalen Green, D'Angelo Russell, and others. David Yurman is a celebrated American jewelry company inspired by the beauty of art, architecture, and the natural world. The story of David Yurman begins in New York City with David, a sculptor, and his wife Sybil, a painter and ceramicist. When the artists began collaborating, their goal was to simply make beautiful designed objects to wear. Over 40 years later, the Yurmans and their son, Evan, continue to redefine American luxury jewelry with timeless, modern collections for women and men defined by inspiration, innovation, consummate craftsmanship, and cable. the brand's artistic signature. David Yurman's collections are available on davidyurman.com.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Grizzlies, they beat the Lakers 103-93. This game was fascinating because there was no Ja Morant. There was no Steven Adams. There was no Brandon Clark. But there's Dylan Brooks. There's Dylan Brooks coming at the king himself. Danielle, can we play that clip?
There are some people, the Lakers are making that run, they get it to 14, even LeBron had that exchange. There are people out there that say, maybe you shouldn't do that with one of the better players in the game. What were you thinking?
I don't care, he's old. You know what I mean? That's, I was waiting for that. I was expecting him to do that game four, game five. He wanted to say something when I got my fourth foul. Should have been saying that earlier on. But, you know, I poke bears. I don't respect no one until they come and give me 40. So I pride myself on, you know, what I do is defense and taking on any challenge that's on the board.
Mark, who is more delusional, Leonardo DiCaprio in Shutter Island or Dylan Brooks thinking that he won't respect LeBron James until he gives him 40 points?
It's got to be Leo. Because I think that's the kind of movie where when you watch it the second time, you're like, yeah, I should have picked up on this ASAP. But yeah, hearing that quote was
spectacular.
Yeah,
I love it.
What a quote, man.
He is the best Batman villain we've ever seen in the NBA. Also, the white off-white shades, which is perfect for that. But I mean, Dylan Brooks, he backed it up in this game, like hitting that three over LeBron, who didn't even contest him, you know, very late in the game. I mean, that was kind of sad on LeBron's part. But, I mean, Brooks kind of brought everything that they could have asked for him tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the defense continues to be really stellar from him. He almost fouled out, so he had his minutes reduced a little bit tonight. But, I mean, he does – I think one of the things that has been so interesting in watching Dylan is that I was somebody who was kind of went through the roller coaster ride with him. You know, when he first came in, I was really interested in what he brought. And then he started hitting a stage and I'm like, well, maybe there's just too much Dylan Brooks. And now I think I just recognize how important he is to what this team does. Like, they lack shot creation in a way that I think gets undersold quite a bit just because they have a lot of ideal players on rookie deals. So people go crazy for that. He's just does a lot of shit that's important for them. He's incredibly feisty defensively, especially at the point of attack. He will take shots, which is the biggest thing. Like, they traded for Luke Kennard and he has struggled to be confident to take shots. They have a lot of guys who can do things well, but Dylan just is there to kind of be the glue. And I think it's been a blast to watch. I know, I mean, getting quotes like that makes it all the more exciting. That was a, it wasn't even his best game, which is what makes it. I mean, the fact that he drops that quote after two is what makes it hilarious. But yeah.
Yeah. And I should be clear. When I say give us everything we want, I mean going 5 for 14, but also playing like.
Well, yeah, talking cash shit when you shoot exactly below 40% from the field. That's how money's made in this league. Yeah.
It was great watching him just like bark in LeBron's face going down for a timeout that LeBron just cursing him like, what the fuck are you doing?
He called him a motherfucking bum. That was caught on national television.
He wasn't wrong. It's very reasonable to call Dylan Brooks a bum if you're playing against Dylan Brooks. But let's get to the guy that actually played great in this game. Xavier Tillman started 22 points, 13 boards, even 3 dimes, 10 for 13 shooting. This was like perfection for him.
Yeah, I thought he was really essential to what they did. Like, again, duh, he had 22 and 13. But, I mean, so much of what the Lakers were doing, it was kind of funny because one of the things I always get frustrated with is that, oh, well, Ja is a good team merchant. Like, he's not actually all that he's been out to be. His impact isn't really there, blah, 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 because they win games without him. And I think, to me, so much of why this game worked for them is they did everything to load up and stop Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr., who both got theirs in their own ways. But, I do think we're mostly contained. But in doing that, they left all these gaps open, and Xavier Tillman exploited the hell out of them. And that's the exact kind of player he is. He's somebody who's so good at finding ways to create his own offense without having shit run for him. And all he did was like, okay, I'm going to eat on the glass and 5 offensive rebounds, and I'm going to cut. And he ended up taking 2 open threes too, hit one of them, and that's how you end up having a career night. Like, he was fantastic. I think it really burned the Lakers. And it was funny watching, because I think this is a game where if Ja plays, I don't think you see nearly this level of impact from Xavier, or the same kind, because the Lakers are just keying in different ways, and the Grizzlies are frankly playing in a different way. So it's not even that the Lakers defense was terrible, but I do think they were pretty relaxed in playing on Xavier. And I think that definitely bit them.
All right. We don't even have time to get to the AD portion of the show, but I'm sure that will come up again after Game 3. Really quickly, the Bucks beat the Heat 138-122 to even up that series. No Giannis, obviously, didn't matter. They were up by like 35 points by the end of the second quarter. And Brooke Lopez went 12-for-17 from the field, and none of them were threes. Only took 1 3 in this game. So that was really fascinating. But we're just gonna skip over that game, because that was just absolute destruction. Really quickly here, we have to get into 2 things that were fascinating from earlier today. 1, Mike Brown, coach of the year, unanimous. I feel like that was a no-brainer. And then the Warriors saying that they're shocked that Draymond Green got suspended. Since these both involve the Kings being superior to the Warriors, let me just mash them together into a quick 2-minute segment here. Mark, the suspension, yes or no? And then Mike Brown, unanimous coach of the year, yes or no?
Yes and yes. You can't stomp on somebody without getting a suspension. I'm sorry. And then the Kings have been awesome. Like, they're legitimately awesome. I think it's well deserved.
Yeah, I know Sabonis is antagonizing Draymond Green. Who cares? Draymond Green has been doing dirty shit constantly throughout his career and doing all the kind of antagonistic stuff. It's kind of comical that people are trying to criticize Sabonis for it, as if it's out of bounds with how Draymond acts. Now, in a vacuum, just like straight up, like, yeah, what Sabonis is doing is like obviously ridiculous, but this is the way Draymond plays, and it's the way the refs are allowing them to play. So, like, I feel like defending Draymond for the stomp is like, or saying he shouldn't be suspended is like defending him and saying he shouldn't be suspended when he punched LeBron in the balls in the finals when LeBron was standing over. It was basically kind of like the same thing. And I saw people saying like, Sabonis was holding his leg and that was the only place he could go down. It was like very clear that he could have stepped over Sabonis. It was very obvious. Like, this was a stomp. And I love that they pretended like Sabonis is questionable for Game 3. That was really adorable. Watch him go out and have like a 25-point triple-double. But either way, the Kings are involved. The Warriors are involved. It is going to be awesome. And this show is great. So thank you to everyone who joined us here on the live stream. And thank you to Danielle Lehman producing the show. For Mark Schindler, I'm Jared Weiss, and we'll see you tomorrow on The Ding.
Ding, ding, y'all.